Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the Crazy Sheets, you get you something to drink, you snuggle in, and you get ready to talk some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio. Scotty's at home, and we are broadcasting to you on the morning of the Natty, brother. How the hell are you?
Man, excited about today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great way to break down the season. I think the environment for tonight is going to be outstanding. It looks like there is a ton of Washington people in New Orleans.
There's going to be
a bunch of Michigan fans. Yeah. Just how big school is and how long term of a program it is. So I think the environment tonight is going to be outstanding. I'm excited about it. Look, everybody talks about Pasadena, and it's the lore and the legend of the Rose Bowl and the tradition, and that's great. Tonight's going to be a significantly better environment.
Yeah.
I have zero doubt in my mind, A, because 90% of the people in that stadium are going to be twice as zeused up on alcohol as they were in Pasadena. So that's a whole different story, too.
Yeah, it is hopping in Houston. I was downtown, checked it out, and there's a lot of crowd going. Everybody's packed in, ready to roll. Coming back in from Dallas yesterday, you saw a lot of cars, Michigan and Washington, driving down. I'm stoked, man. I think we got the two best teams that we could have to play. After watching both those semifinal games, I thought Alabama got out-physical. I thought they got out-coached. Milroe was exposed. The offensive line was really what got exposed, in my opinion. And that was an offensive line for Bama that had its issues. And I thought they had shored things up when they got in the Georgia game, and they hadn't. And Michigan proved that if you can put pressure on Milroe, he would struggle. On the flip side with the Washington game, Washington's the team that we thought they would be. That game came out exactly the way that we thought that would roll out. It came out hot. It came out fast. Both Sark and DeBoer were ready to roll. Penix, man, dropping dimes on those guys.
Dimes.
I mean,
dropping dimes.
We thought the Texas secondary would be the spot that you could expose them. We talked about the trench being a big deal. And if you watch the game, it came down to the fact that the Washington offensive line was able to hold off that defensive line, give Penix some time, and then he literally was just dropping it in a basket. And I think what people take for granted, the fact that there's three NFL wide receivers on this Washington team, and they're explosive. And so tonight's game is going to be fantastic. I'm excited. Over-unders at 56. Line's been floating around Michigan -4.5, -5. So you can look for some opportunities there. And the money line has been moving between 170 and 180. I am excited tonight. What are you looking for in this game tonight?
You know, I'm the thing I'm interested the most in is, can Washington stop the run? I've talked about this on them several times this year. Is Michigan going to get up there and be able to play bully ball and just push them around? They had been exposed in some times when teams gave them fits. And I'll go to Arizona State. Now, look, Washington was banged up, and that is not nearly the case tonight. But they almost lost that game because they couldn't stop Arizona State running football. This is a hell of a lot better running team than Arizona State. But teams ran the football into the time this year. That is my concern. That is the bottom line. I think where people are discounting Washington is I think they're going to be able to expose Michigan, because I do think this offensive line, unless they blitz, is going to be able to give Penix time to throw the football. And he gets rid of the football fast. He's not standing back there like a statue.
No.
I mean, he got a quick release. I mean, he gets rid of the football. He does a nice job moving within the pocket. You mentioned one time about him moving and using his skills to stay in the pocket and get rid of the football. I think you can't say it better than that. He does a great job. What does Michigan do on the blitz? Because Penix has done a – look, he's experienced, and he's played a lot of football, and he doesn't get rattled, and I think he'll be able to get rid of the football. I think DeBoer is going to do a much better job of hitting the hot routes when they send a guy. He's going to have outlet guys, and I expect Penix to do it. And look, Penix can run the football too. He didn't do it a lot because of those injuries earlier in his career trying to stay healthy. But when he does, he's capable of doing it. The kid's an athletic kid. So I think tonight's going to be a fascinating game. Two best offenses Michigan played all year. Gave up 24 points to both of them. That was the most points they gave up. Gave it to Maryland and Ohio State. Ohio State was on the road. So interested to see how tonight works. I think Washington's going to get to 30. So I think that's bottom line. Yeah. I think they score at least four touchdowns tonight. Can Michigan score more? I think that tells you what I think about the over. Thinking in that, because I think Washington is good enough on the offensive line with those wide receivers. Look, I know Michigan's got a couple of good cover guys. They get every contested ball. Yeah. It's amazing to me. I mean, they go catch the football. I mean, look, I know he's dropping dimes sometimes, but damn, they're making really tough catches too. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to discount these wide receivers at all. And I think McMillan being back is a big deal for them. I think it opens up all kinds of things. And he's the guy I expect to have a huge game tonight.
Yeah, best I can tell, the running
back. And the tight end. I would tell you tight end game, too. I think that's the other spot where I think Washington may make some hay because, again, I think they're going to have to send pressure. That's going to put tight end because they've got capable players at the tight end spots. Those are two spots that I'm interested to see. I think they could have big games tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm not going to be shy about it. I'm playing Washington here. I'm going to try to get the 5. I'm going to hold around. I've seen it a couple of times. I've already got the money line at plus 180 that I popped on it when I saw that pop at 5.5 the other day. And I like the over, too. I like the team total over of Washington over 26 points. I do think they're going to get 4 touchdowns. And what you're talking about right there, I agree with you in a sense that the look for the tight ends at Michigan to play a bigger role today. You actually can get a prop on Westover, tight end, the redshirt senior that kind of rolls in. They play two of them. They play Devin Cup and they play Westover. But I've saw a prop with Westover over 27.5 yards, and I think that could be a good bet because I could definitely see you – he could get chunked out on one play. Because where I think you're going to have problems on both sides of the ball is Michigan, if they can control the line of scrimmage, can really play bully ball in this team. Now, I don't know that Michigan can blow the top off of Washington's defense. And so I don't know if we're going to have to sit and watch some 7-8-minute drives that Michigan's going to put together and then Washington can't get it rolling. But, you know, Corum doesn't have the explosiveness that he had pre-injury, but yet he's still fantastic. And so I do think Michigan's going to get it done. I think they're going to be able to put some points on the board. But this Washington team, I just think has been so overlooked all season long. And you go look at their schedule and you compare, trying to compare apples to apples. And realistically, I caught some shade on Twitter on this, but the Big Ten to me was down. There wasn't that many good teams this year in the Big Ten.
Oh, as a whole, it was down.
Yeah.
But Ohio State and Michigan were Ohio State and Michigan.
Absolutely.
Penn State was every bit as flawed as they looked against Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah.
And I understand they had some players out, and yes, the cornerbacks made a huge deal against Ole Miss, but I think they lose that game either way, I'll be honest, because they simply are a one-dimensional football team. They have to be able to run the football to win. So, yes, the league was as a whole not very good. Hey, don't get offended, Big Ten people. I don't think the SEC was very good either.
Well, and that's where my lead into my next point was. The Pac-12, in my opinion, was the best top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, you look at even the teams in the bottom of that conference, Cal, Stanford. Yeah, the bottom of the Pac-12 wasn't great this year, but it was better. And the middle of that conference and the top of that conference was by far the best conference in the country. And we saw what Washington was able to do. And the other thing I like about this Washington team is two things. And both of these teams have showed moxie throughout the season. You've got Michigan that's had to play with a suspended coach for 6 games. You've had to do the Michigan against the world type thing. I get that. And it's galvanized that team and made them better. They had some big games that they stepped up into. The Ohio State game to win that one was a big one. That first game when they went on the road and they had to pull that one off was a big one. And so, but then the Michigan team on the other side, I love the fact that they won the Joe Moore Award, which to me shows a shit ton of teamwork. To win the offensive lineman award. Washington winning the Joe Moore Award is a big deal. And then the other thing, too, with this Washington team, go back and look, man. They have literally won more games that have been decided within one score than any team in the country. And so they've been right there, and that means they're not getting rattled. They're not getting nervous when they're down a little bit or in their right there. They're comfortable in that spot. I think they trust each other. I think they trust Penix. I think DeBoer has done one heck of a good job building an offense that does the best he can do with talent with Penix has. And then also with that receiving core that's there. He knows exactly what he has. He plays to his strengths. And I think he's gonna make Michigan uncomfortable at times tonight. I really, really do.
Well, you bring up a point that I was going to bring up. So let's count this up. They beat Texas by 6. This is under touchdown games. They beat Oregon by 3. They beat Washington State by 3. They beat Oregon State by 2. They beat Utah by 7. They beat Arizona State by 8, but that was still a really close game. Oregon 3 the first time. Arizona 7. So, I mean, yeah, you're talking 7 games that they won by touchdown less, and an 8th they won by 8. So, yes, they're used to playing good. The thing and I said this last week, and I mean it, look how many good quarterbacks they play. The NFL draft is going to bear out that they played probably 3 of the 4 two for sure of the best 3 quarterbacks in the country, not including Penix, obviously, because he's on their team. So they can't play him. But I would tell you that Ungalele in that system at Oregon State was significantly better. I would tell you Washington State had one of the best college quarterbacks hitting the field.
Sure.
They played some really good players, and that Arizona team was much better when they made the quarterback switch. So, that was the first game that he played the full game was against Washington. So I think that is the difference. I think that's the difference for these guys. I think they are better defensively than people give them credit for, because they don't look impressive. They don't just ooh and ah you with 5 stars and because a lot of this translates to people think this guy's supposed to be good, so they assume he's good.
Right, I agree.
And guys like Ty step up for them on the defensive line. They don't get credit. That guy's a player. And watch that guy get drafted high, because that guy makes plays. He can get to the quarterback. So I think there's some better players on this team than people realize. They are very prepared. At the end of the day, this team feels, I know this is a cliche, feels like a team of destiny. I mean, it really does. It feels like it is their year. I mean, it just feels like they keep winning, getting it done. You know, and now a lot of people, you could say pretty much the same thing about Michigan. That's what makes this game fascinating to me tonight. I'm with you on the betting perspective. I like Washington. I'm gonna ride with the one that brung me, and I like the over under because I think they're at least gonna be able to score. I think they get, like you said, 4 touchdowns. Like I said earlier, I think they're gonna get to 28-30 points. So I think this game goes over. If Ohio State can score 24, they can score 28. That's the bottom line. So I think they go probably go over their team total as well. So I don't have a problem with any of those 3 bets, but I'm definitely taking Washington and the over in this ball game.
Yeah, I've got an alert set, so if my guy goes off and gets to 5 again, I'm going to hit it again. I'm probably set on the money line. I've got a futures ticket. And then my other favorite bet is the Washington team total over 26. I think, like I said, you're under 4 touchdowns. I think we're going to get there tonight. I really do. So I'm excited about this game. As far as the national championship's concerned, I feel like this is as good a setup as we've had maybe since the Alabama-Georgia game, when we got to meet Tua when he came in the second half of that one to lead them to the national championship. And it just maybe just started the Georgia dynasty start a little bit shorter than that. So I'm excited for this game, man. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I'm going to give you a great stat to tell you what's on to find out early before the game ever kicks off. If Michigan wins the toss, Jim Harbaugh has deferred every time in the length of time that Michael Penix has been a college football player, he has deferred every kickoff to the second half, except one time when he played at Indiana against Michael Penix. They lost that ball game.
know. Penix threw for 350 yards in that game.
If they win the toss tonight and they take it, it tells you that Harbaugh thinks they need to get out front. They need to get out front. They can't let Washington get momentum. It tells you a lot about his mindset, in my mind. Yeah. I think that is a fascinating read. I hope they win the toss so that we get a chance to find out really what's on his mind. So be interesting to see what Washington does, too. Do they defer, or do they want to get out front and not let Michigan play bully ball? So it'll be interesting to see that opening coin toss. I think tonight's going to be a great game. I honestly think these are I think these are probably the two best teams in the country. I really do. It takes a lot to go undefeated, you know, which is one of the knocks that everybody has against Florida State. Florida State without the quarterback is not one of the best four teams in the country. That's not debatable. Now, do I think Georgia was better than Alabama? Sure, I do. Still don't know. We won't know. But I think these two teams have damn sure earned the right to be here. I think it's going to be fabulous to watch. And this is why we play the games. You know, Georgia's at home because they lost. They had a chance to go undefeated just like these guys did too. So I'm excited to watch these guys. This is going to be a really, really fun game. Great way to end the season. Somebody is going 15-0. That's pretty impressive. No matter who it is, that's an awesome season. So should be great. I'm still fascinated to see if Harbaugh's off to the NFL. NFL jobs opening and some pretty good NFL jobs, honestly. So, got to be enticing for a guy like Harbaugh to get back to Southern California and get a young quarterback like Herbert. So see what goes on. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see if he is back at Michigan and do they just hire more as their head coach. So a lot of fascinating stuff after this game's over too. But boy, the 60 minutes they're playing, I think, is going to be a lot of fun tonight.
There is no way he comes back to Michigan next year. I mean, we've been talking about this all season. It's like, hey, suspend me again. F you, we're going to win the Natty, and I'm getting the hell out of here.
Well, I think you may be right. And the athletic director, who Ward Manuel was a football player in the mid-80s, I think he and Harbaugh may have been on the same team. I have not looked that up. But they have to be close just based on age. They had to be pretty close to one another. So you hear him in the interviews. I've been working on this for months, meaning Harbaugh's got no interest in signing that contract. I think he's gone, but that's a story for the next podcast.
But I mean, here's my next question. Who do you hire if you're Michigan? Because it's like,
do you hire Moore? I'm telling you, do you hire Sharon Moore? Does he get the job after the job he did? He's certainly an up and coming coach. Let me tell you, if they don't hire him, he's a head coach next year.
I don't disagree with you, but I mean, this is a Michigan. I mean, we've forgotten that, like, this was a Michigan team that pre-Harbaugh really struggled. I mean, really struggled. They had identity problems. You know,
and he's Mark, you look at him, he's lost like it's 23 or 24 games in his time there. He's averaging basically a 9-4 football coach.
Yeah.
Now they've been great the last three years, really.
Yeah.
So it shocks everybody. You know, that, like, I don't think people realize that, man, he's still averaging 9 wins a season. That's how big of a rebuild this process was. So they need to get it right too.
So, no, it's going to be fascinating. We're going to try to actually do some podcasts in the offseason. We keep up. Football is just all over the map these days with the portal. When is the portal closed? Do you know?
I think it is closed. I think it's not closed yet, but I think it closes. It's this week. Mm-hmm. It's fast. It's right after the Natty, okay. Which, I mean, let's face this. How big of a disadvantage are the national championship teams in? They're basically playing. They're playing in conference championships the weekend it opens, and then they're preparing for bowl games and national titles the whole time that the portal's open, and it closes basically as soon as the season's over. I mean, it kind of sucks for those guys. I mean, look, I understand their roster's on as naked as some of these other guys, but the calendar needs to be fixed. This is a train. I mean, it's a train wreck. I mean, Quinshon Judkins leaving. I mean, come on, man. Can we get serious about caring about winning and caring about your team instead of just me? I mean, because that's all this is about. This is about money. That there is zero end of story. And I love the Ole Miss fans acting like, oh, we ran him off.
Bullshit.
No. Bullshit. Come on, man. I know you're butthurt about him leaving, but you didn't run him off. Now, did Lane Kiffin make a business decision that he didn't want to spend the money that Judkins was asking for and that he thinks he can get on the open market? You bet your bottom dollar happens every day.
Yeah.
Happens every day. I can guarantee you Ohio State didn't want McCord to leave, but they probably weren't willing to up him to $1.5 million, $2 million in NIL. They didn't think it was worth it. And that is going on. So if you own that, that's great. You can buy me into that. That you ran him off? Come on, man. Yeah. I mean, come on. Let's be safe. He's at Ohio State this weekend. I mean, that tells you how good the player is. I mean, he's gonna get big money, but at the end of the day, where are you going to go is a better opportunity than what Ole Miss is going to be next year. They're a legitimate national title contender. So, anyway, it's a mess. Lots to talk about. A lot going on. Michigan and Washington, going to be a great game tonight.
Team total over 26 is where we're riding. Scott likes the over in 56.5. We're both on Washington getting the points and sprinkle a little bit on that money line. Folks, it's been a good season. Let's hope we can cash a couple more tickets, put a little bit more profit in the pocket, and then we'll start getting ready for the NFL draft. We'll see what's going to roll out through the rest of portal season and just enjoy college football, because, by God, there's only about 2 weeks a year that it doesn't happen anymore, you know, that something's not going on. And so we'll be out there as much as we can. Everybody enjoy the game tonight. Just hit us up on Twitter, and we look forward to some feedback. Talk to you soon.